This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast covering Ipswich Town since 2015. I am Greg Rainbow and you're tuned in to the pre-match show, open brackets, Oxford home edition, close brackets, in partnership with our very, very good friends at the Greyhound Pub in Ipswich. Our shows are available weekly on podcast and audio, and sometimes live. Joining me is my good friend, Mitch Goodwood. How are you, Mitch?
I'm good. I'm delighted that our podcast is available on podcast and audio, as per the intro. So there we go. Double audio and video too.
I'm Ron Burgundy. I can only read what's there, mate.
This is video. Anyway, how about this for backseat driving? Do you want to explain the names, by the way? Because that's some internal banter.
Yeah. See, Rich received a glowing recommendation very recently, and we joked that it was from a gentleman named Mitch Goodwood, i.e. Rich's alter ego, and I said that you need to look out for the Greg Rainbow comments on YouTube underneath anything that I'm doing.
He's always a fan of your shows, isn't he? So yeah. Well, that's good to see you, and I guess we must say I'll be backseat driving as always on this one,
but you're the main man. Again. That's it. Yeah, Seb's not around this week, so Rich is stepping in for Seb, and I am stepping in for Rich. And like last time when we mentioned this, I said that it was give us a clue, and it sort of went over Rich's head. And sad news in the last week that Lionel Blair has passed away. So you know, we're now going to have a 2 minute silence for as agreed, Rich, for the great entertainer Lionel Blair. Only joking. Right. Good evening, everybody. Stick your comments in. We've already got some comments coming up. Good evening to Charlie. How are you? Good evening to Skip. Good evening to Andres. Good evening to Stubbsy. Jules, how are you, mate? Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see you. Got a capitalized Craig and a lower. Oh, no, it's not a lowercase, Rich. Sorry, my eyes were deceiving me. Yes, thank you, Skip. Let's get the carry on innuendos in nice and early. If we can keep those going for the duration, that'd be much appreciated. As per normal, albeit with a slightly different lineup, give us a shout, stick some comments in, some questions in. We'll go through the news and bits and pieces. Is there anything that tickles your fancy in terms of what's been said and what's happened during the course of the week? Stick your comments in, and we'll have a chat about it.
England are 1-0 up, by the way. So if you were worried about what was going on elsewhere, we've got you covered on that front as well.
How many screens you got going there? I've got like three screens in. I am
barely... multimedia. Harry Maguire scored the goal.
Okay. Good evening, boys. EJ Norris. David, hi, mate. Good to see you. Aaron Marks. Maz. All right, Maz. Yeah, RIP Lionel. Right, okie doke. So, as mentioned previously, let's have a little recap of the week's news. So, what you'll see, apologies to anyone who's watching me. It looks like I'm watching a game of tennis at Wimbledon, but I've, courtesy of my employees, I've now got two huge screens. So, I look like I'm something in charge of NASA International Space Station or something in my home office now. So, don't be put off by me looking backwards and forwards. In terms of news this week, we have had Idris Elmezouni has signed a brand new contract. That news sort of broke just previous to Rich and Joe's midweek show. Signed a new contract for, well, till 2024, 2.5 years plus, excuse me, plus an option. And that's obviously on the back of a pretty impressive start to the season when he's been given the chance, isn't it, Rich?
Yeah, and I think also kind of a symbol of how well he's done trying to learn from Morsi and learn that more kind of defensive-minded central midfield role as opposed to what we know he can do as a number 10. I think he can also play out wide if he wants to. But we know that he can attack, but he's also demonstrated he can learn the other side of the game as well. And given we only have one Morsi at the moment, real big opportunity for him. And he's not let us down so far in that respect. Certainly good to bring in through our own as well, because we're always worried a little bit that the likes of Idris and Armando Dobra as well, you know, there's talent there. We can see it. It's just about giving them the opportunity. And hopefully this contract's a symbol that you'll get more of those.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's good to see from his perspective that he is sort of reinventing himself from being a what we all thought was a number 10 stroke, you know, attacking midfield wide player potentially, to being what he's, as you say, a mini Morsi in effect.
But also, we know he can take a set piece as well. So he's got lots of attributes, things that he can offer. It looks like it's gone 2-0, by the way. So thank you to Jules, EJ.
Julian Vidi Printer Hughes, as we shall now name him.
Yeah, my browser's too slow. So obviously BBC not good enough. There you go.
Thank you, guys.
Let you know what happens on that with goal scorers. But yeah, so he's got a lot more rounded game, which is great and good on him. And that's a real endorsement 2024, isn't it? So good luck to him.
Yeah. Also this week, the women's team lost to their close rivals Southampton in the cup. Is it the League Cup in effect? I think they lost last weekend. This weekend, they're in FA Cup action away to MK Dons, who they've already beaten 3-0 this season in the league. So hopefully they can get a bit of a run going there. Just a quick mention about the fans forum that happened earlier this week. I hope people have had a chance to watch it, or you know, at least read about the news of which what happened. It was really, really interesting. I know, Rich, you were there with Joe. There were a few familiar faces there in the audience. Lots and lots of people got a chance to ask questions. And what was good is that, you know, I've been to a few of these things, and sometimes they can be a little bit slow going. And you know, the poor old guy in charge of it, whoever it happens to be, whether it's Foz or sometimes I've been to some of the AGMs where it's my uncle Roger Fimbo doing it, and you know, there can be slow going things. But this one seemed to trot along pretty quickly, and they were never really short of questions, bits and pieces like that. So, by all means, I'd say I'd really recommend watching it if it's possible to watch it again. But there were some really interesting points and views coming up. You know, if people want to stick in the comments what their main takes out of it were, I think, from my perspective, there were a couple of things. And I know you spoke about it, Rich, on the midweek show, is that the cobbled stand and the ground not facing the town, sort of Mark Ashton made reference to, didn't it? And you just wonder whether something is going to be brewing on the what I'm going to call the Portman Road stand, and potentially making that the entrance going forward. I was quite interested in that little piece.
Yeah, and Mike O'Leary also said that to be able to do even some of the remedial work to the pitch, they're going to need to punch a hole in the corner of the Cobbold stand and the South stand, presumably. So, yeah, it's good that there's Ashton called it an estate management plan. He also admitted the Cobbold stand is probably long over its sell-by date as well. So, yeah, that does feel, and we were talking about this on the live show, still available, me and Joe, and a good debate about what you do about that footprint with Portman Road also behind it and not being accessible for traffic at the moment. Feels like a really good opportunity to just totally reconsider that. But obviously, Craig, it's going to need investment and money, and you can't really justify that in League One, can you?
No, that's right. And I'm sure other people, I've certainly seen, prototype drawings of what the Cobbold stand should have been like, as I think either Mark Ashton or O'Leary mentioned, actually, that, they've come across various iterations of designs for stands. So I think it's something that has been thought about and mentioned in previous, but as you say, it's the funding that's needed, and you're certainly not going to be doing it in League One. Arguably, you're not going to be doing it in the Championship either if you're sitting in a 29-30,000 seat stadium, are you? But
as the guys are saying on in the chat, even just making more of what we've got is better than nothing. You know, whilst we can't do that big fundamental redesign, rebuild, whatever you want to call it, even putting the decals up on the ground, I think there is shiny new graphics, as Charlie calls it. The flags in the concourse is in the south stand, all this kind of stuff is just shows there's much more thought and planning going into our experience in a match day than whatever we've had previously under Marcus Evans.
Yeah, absolutely. Next piece of news, as Maz has alluded to here, is our friend James Norwood. The East Anglian broke the story earlier in the week that that a few people had sort of suggested was happening in the background. In any case, is that James Norwood has been transfer listed and has been training with the under 23s. As Maz has said here, he thinks it's the best for both. Never reached his full potential, but it's just hasn't been fit. As we say all the time on the show and on our little WhatsApp, is that it's no good being fit for two matches and then not fit for the subsequent eight, regardless of what's happening off field and in the background. Just from a purely football perspective, you can't rely on the guy to be available, can you, unfortunately?
No, and the trouble for him as well is, even if we wanted to get behind him and put our trust in him when he is fit, off the field there's just too many question marks, isn't there? And there's the drink driving thing, which was an unnecessary distraction. I forget where that ended up.
Ongoing, I think, isn't it?
Ongoing, I think it is, and appeals and all that kind of stuff. And it just feels like the frustration, I think, and I don't know whether that's Maz's point, is that there's a good predatory goal scorer in there. You just get a little bit too much baggage, which makes him a bit of a liability. And the only problem I've got is that that he'll go somewhere else, and if it's a League One team in January, that he'll end up scoring important goals and possibly turning up and scoring one past us.
Yeah.
And that's the frustration.
We've mentioned previously, the irony of the fact that he's played 50 games year on year on year on year until coming to us. Yeah. I just wonder whether it's wear and tear, and eventually it was going to happen. By virtue of him playing so many games on slightly dodgy pitches, that it was always going to happen that things would catch up with, and it may be that suffers the same elsewhere.
And you can only speculate on this, but psychologically, he's finally got the big contract that probably is, as an amateur and coming through the professional leagues, he'd been after. Did it feel perhaps mentally for him that he'd succeeded? I've got my big contract at a big club, and that's success for me. I'm happy with that. And then took his foot off the pedal a little bit and standards maybe dropped. I don't know. I'm speculating. I'm sad about it, because you saw even in the opening day of the season, the assist for Bonn in the final minutes against Morecambe, that he's a useful player. But I don't think any of us are surprised, or perhaps maybe disappointed, but not surprised at the outcome and the story that EADT went with this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And just one final piece of news that Stubbsy's mentioned here, and also David about what we're calling it. Sorry, Packout PR, Packout Portman
Hashtag.
Road. And there was an interview today with Mark Ashton, who was shooting for the stars, pretty much in terms of the attendances that he wants to get over the course of through the matches in December, pretty much. And it's a deal for. Just to give everyone a brief overview of it, what it is, it's a deal for non-season ticket holders, really, in that they can purchase a three-match bundle of tickets for some pretty important matches, as it goes, the Sunderland, Wickham and Lincoln matches. For the Sunderland match, our owners are going to be over leaping about like idiots in the director's box, hopefully, fingers crossed. Oh, it's terrible arthritis you got there, mate. you can get three adult tickets for £40,
or 15 quid each as well.
Or 50. All right, man, coming to that.
All right, sorry.
Under 12s can watch three for £3. Under 19s can watch three for £7.50. I think it is. Under 23s can get three for £12.50 or something. Absolutely preposterous from my perspective. As you say, single matches as well. You can get one for adults can get in for 15 quid. I think down to the under 12s and get in for £1.50. Obviously, keep this in mind, everybody. You've got your £1.50 fee to add on to your £1.50 ticket price. But
what about us season ticket holders? I hear you.
Well,
it's
funny you should ask that, mate. Now, if you want to do, hold on. If you want to do Sting, I'll do Mark Knopfler. Ready? I want my MTV down, 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 down. No, money for nothing, mate. It's money
right.
for nothing.
Okay.
Although it's remains to be seen whether the chicks are free.
I'll be singing Pink Pantherous later on,
mate. If there are kids watching us on a Friday night, then. They probably are into Dire Straits as well, to be perfect. Yeah, so season ticket holders, you get kickback yourself. So the more people that you can persuade to come along to Portman Road, you get points on your team card tickets to all up to the tune of £12.50's worth if we get 28,000 into the stand. So, is this... Give us
Henderson.
A clue now. We're playing charades still in
Henderson.
Reverence of Lionel Blair, are we? Three syllables, mate. Three syllables.
England.
could take a while. Yeah, so, yeah, it benefits everyone if you can persuade all your friends to come along, get them to pack out Portman Road, as the saying goes, and, yeah, everyone
wins.
Happy. Yeah, absolutely. And then very, very briefly... After the match in the Pizza Cup the other night, it transpires that West Ham cheated everybody. So we get to finish top and get a home match against Chelsea or Arsenal under 21s, Charlton or Stevenage. So I think that gets the weekend, isn't it, Rich? I think the draw is tomorrow, possibly.
There's an EFL game on Sky midday and the draw is straight after that. So we should know. Sitting into our seats at Oxford, we should know who we've got next. Hopefully, Stevenage or Charlton. I'm not sure I want to play against Arsenal or Chelsea on the 21s.
No, well, now it's at home. We've got the it is just a little step closer to crossing off that name that being one of the only teams that haven't played at the new Wembley.
Wembley. There you go. Three syllables.
Nicely done. Cool. Well, I say that in terms of news and bits and pieces, I think that's pretty much it. And we'll move on to what's happening this weekend. So, yes, the mighty Oxford United are rowing into town on Saturday. I don't know whether Malcolm Shotton playing for them still, is it? Christ, I've just been going through Dire Straits and now I'm talking about Malcolm. They still got Wang on the
front of it. Jimmy Jilton still in midfield.
Front of it. Ray Houghton partners up with Ray Houghton. Does he
the
still?
I don't know
what Seb's got in here. John Aldridge up front. So in terms of Oxford, Rich, do you want to do the nerdy Seb piece for us?
Yeah, I think, well, some of it's Seb, a lot of it's me, very rushed just before.
Fact checking, mate,
start.
You were fact checking. Don't wish to cast aspersions on.
Exactly
on Seb,
right. Accuracy.
You were fact checking, yeah.
This is what we want. Exactly right. Worth saying, any excuse to do this. Interesting quotes from the managers going into this game. Carl Robinson, also part of the Scouse Mafia. I don't know how he pitches his accent, but
give it a go, mate. Anyway, it won't be anything.
As open as maybe we foresee. They'll be a little bit cautious and they'll know on the turnover we'll be very good, says Robinson. And Cook's response to that was, no comment. I've got the utmost respect for Carl Robinson. I've known him a very long time and he brings his side here tomorrow in a very good place. So we'll come back to this point that Robinson made about good on the turnover, because I was trying to interpret what that meant. And I think I've got some stats maybe to help us understand that. But talking about Oxford, Craig, no real surprises. We know this is going to be a team that is going to be big on possession. A team that is, I guess, for argument, is maybe a debatable point, punched above their weights by finishing in playoff positions, obviously sixth last season and lost to Blackpool in the playoffs. And they find themselves sixth at the moment, so on form. And Carl Robinson is kind of the school of manager like Lee Johnson in that he's very streaky. They do go on runs. And you'll recall last season, they started appallingly. And thanks, Stubbsy. Had a resurgence, didn't they? But this season, they started pretty strongly.
They have played 15,
8 wins, 2 draws, 4 defeats. I think 3 of those 4 defeats were away from home as well. So maybe a helpful omen there. Last time out, defeated Morecambe. And last time out, officially was in the FA Cup. Not a huge amount of rotation, but only could manage a 2-all draw at home to a League 2 team, Craig. I mean, what kind of levels of quality do you want there?
What they have done, sorry, mate, sorry to interrupt, but what they have done in the last month, so they've been, there's a lot of goals in their matches, aren't there? They're not winning 3-1, they're losing 3-1 sort of thing. They don't shut up shop, a bit like ourselves really in that respect.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point to make. And Carl Robinson's teams have typically been around that. And you know, a lot of people would suggest he's of the same school of kind of tactics as Paul Jewell. But I think largely we can expect a lot of attempts to keep the ball. It's short passing, not a huge amount of direct running. And the build-up play generally is short passing, but they'll try and take shots from every opportunity they can. Should we talk about personnel? We've talked about Carl Robinson.
Yeah. He's been in charge formation since do they play and stuff?
March 2018. Let's talk about some transfer business, if that's all right, because it kind of parlays quite well into, there you go, thanks, Jules, into the squad and selection situation, because a lot of the players brought in and are starting are loans. 3 that I can think of, Nathan Holland, left winger from West Ham, a couple of goals for him, admittedly, in one game, and an assist. Jordan Thornley, left centre back from Blackpool, also on loan, 14 starts, no goals or assists for him, but that's not his job. And Herbie Kane, midfielder on loan from Barnsley, all 3 of those feature. The other player that I guess who signed in the summer transfer window who's of interest is Steve Seddon, left back who signed on an undisclosed fee from Birmingham, started 15 games, 2 goals, 3 assists, so really making a valid contribution down the left-hand side as a fullback. I've kind of got, do you remember here? I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday, let alone
That's the intro to Kaylee by Marillion, mate. So you're keeping us on a theme, yeah? Carry on.
Friday nights. This is all right, isn't it? Billy Bowden, do you remember him? Breakthrough striker / winger. Broke through at Bristol Rovers a few seasons ago and was snapped up by Preston and never really kicked on from there. He signed for them on a permanent deal and as yet hasn't really had an opportunity to shine. But I think we were amongst a number of championship clubs at the time looking at him. So he's there now. And in terms of players going out, Rob Atkinson, left back slash centre back.
Good player, wasn't he? He's the really tall chap who came. Comes out with the ball, strolls out with the ball, and passes it about, doesn't he? He's a good player.
Big chunky deal for him as well from with Bristol City. And Sean Clare's the only other kind of notable player who's departed, who's starting for Charlton in midfield, but probably not a massive name to most people here. So in terms of the formations and the style of play and what to expect, 1.7 goals per game. This is where we're going to Seb's stats now. But they're good at creating those chances. 11 shots per game, as I said, create generally just over two meaningful chances per match. And they're only second to Rotherham on shots per game. And a pretty decent accuracy at that. Average possession, no surprises, around the 56% mark. Joint fourth in the league on that stat, along with Ipswich Town Football Club. A passing accuracy of 75% isn't as good as ours, actually. But the attack, as I said, largely pass-oriented, short passing-oriented. Defensive frailties, you mentioned that. Only three clean sheets for a team in the top six isn't great. On average, 1.1 goals conceded per game. Again, chimes with the point that you made there that if they lose, they might lose by two or three rather than the odd goal. I kind of got the tackles per game thing and they've got a good disciplinary record. I just wonder whether they're either honest or not up for the fight. Yeah. They don't get fouled much either themselves. So don't play any games. Don't go looking for trouble. And with some key personnel missing, might be an opportunity for us to win the midfield battle, which will be vital tomorrow. The chances are through the middle, largely. I know that I mentioned the fullbacks and the wingers contributing, but actually a lot of the chances created come through the middle section of the pitch.
So potentially a chance for Sam Morsey to go and bully some people and not necessarily get himself booked because they'll take it.
And do you remember that picture at full-time? In the Fleetwood game, Morsey versus Matete, when Morsey could in his right in his face. Yeah. I can't imagine he'll be getting having anyone facing up to him tomorrow against Oxford. That for me is the big kind of gap in the squad is the lack of street fighters is probably the phrase I'd use. But
we've been lacking ourselves the last two or three years. Arguably.
Exactly right, and to an extent that would have been provided by play that I think we were interested in ourselves, Alex Gorin, central midfielder, sitter, but he's out. This is the worst of that kind of the minimal rotation that I mentioned for Bristol Rovers. Alex Gorin, who's ever present for them, I think, the central sitter, the fulcrum really that the attacking midfielders can drive forward from, picked up an ACL injury in the Bristol Rovers game there, which is what you don't want if you. If you're not going to win the tie either, don't get any injuries like we managed to. But in this game, worst of both worlds for them. A replay and a really serious injury there.
I'm just wondering, as you were talking, mate, having watched all the games recently, home and away, and as you were saying there about the Fleetwood match in terms of Morsey, what he does tend to do is look to pick a fight with someone on the other team, potentially maybe just to get himself wound up enough to get going, if you know what I mean. So whether that person's not there tomorrow and therefore, you'll be looking around for someone to have a fight with who simply aren't there, remains to be seen. Well, let's hope not. Remains to be seen, doesn't it, mate?
Yeah.
So there are 4-3-3 predominantly.
Yeah, and just very finishing that point on the central midfield thing, the turnovers point that I alluded to at the start. I've interpreted turnovers, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't got any backup stats. So this point basically disintegrates if you disagree with me. I interpreted that as interceptions, winning the ball back. And Oxford are only 10th in the league. They average 9.9 interceptions per game, which isn't particularly hot. However, I noted that Ipswich generally are dispossessed on the ball. So that's not the same as being knocked off the ball in a dribble or anything. It's miscontrolling or it's someone stealing in when you've got possession. That happens to us 10.4 times per game. And we're the third worst for that in the division, actually. So that maybe Carl Robinson's point is more about us than necessarily it is about them. He knows that we try to pass. Maybe we're not quite as cohesive as his side at doing that. But they've not got a Cole Skuse on 40 interceptions for the season in their team. And as I said, Alex Gorham probably would be the person to do that. He's absent.
Nice.
On the formations, then, you said 4-3-3. It will be that, or a variation of 4-2-3-1 or 4-1-2, whatever you want.
Yeah.
It'll be 4-3-3 with a sitter in midfield. I mentioned absentees. Key one is in goal. So Jack Stevens, an academy graduate, well thought of, has made 13 appearances, and those three clean sheets have happened with him in him in nets. He's recovering, I think, from glandular fever. I don't think it's been mentioned too many places. I had to do my research for that. So the experienced Simon Eastwood, who's 32, and it's probably been a good foil for the young goalkeeper. He'll come in, and he's had two appearances so far. The back line kind of is picks itself. Sam Long at right back, Steve Seddon, we've mentioned him at left back, and Elliot Moore and Jordan Thornley, I mentioned him, the Blackpool only, they're the centre-back pairing. Moore is the more physical. You mentioned the guy who left for Bristol City in the summer, and I've already forgotten his name. This is in one ear and out the other.
Robinson.
Atkinson, was it? Robinson?
Yeah, Rob Atkinson, yeah. Sorry.
There we go, I've conflated them together. So yeah,
Ron Atkinson.
Ron Atkinson will be...
Another ex-Oxford United
Is he? There you go. All the facts tonight. So yeah, so that will be the back line, unless there's something happens on the coach on the way up. Mentioned Alex Gorham missing. Ryan Williams, ex Pompey, is probably the likely deputy there. And they do have a guy called Marcus McGuane, who they signed from Forest, but very inexperienced, so unlikely to come in for a game like this. We know about James Henry down the right wing. Very creative, very experienced, ex Reading and Wolves. 6 goals, 2 assists for him in his 14 appearances. So he's a threat on the right-hand side. In the middle and on the left, I quite like Cameron Branigan. He is my trademark man to watch. Ex-Liverpool youth. I think he's got 3 goals, 13 appearances. Herbie Kane, we mentioned him, the Barzagloni. He's the other option there. And then up front, again, no surprises if you know anything about Oxford, the threat up front is Matty Taylor, the central striker, 6 goals, 1 assist. Seb's researched this, all 6 goals from inside the area. So feels like a bit of a poacher. Seb's word, a pest, likes to press from the front. And 3 of their 22 bookings have come for him. So he's possibly the one that Morsi wants, but he might be too far up the pitch to spoil for that rumble kick that you were suggesting there, Craig. Otherwise, it'll be Mark Sykes and probably Nathan Holland, the West Ham money on the left-hand side. So Sykes on the right, 4 goals, Holland on the left. Gavin White's the other option, and he has played recently, but he is on international duty. It's worth remembering, obviously, that we've generally come out quite well on injuries from cup matches, apart from KVY, and international call-ups. Not so fortunate for Oxford, though. Gavin White, less of a starter for the whole season. He's featured and has played of late, but Nathan Holland, more than capable deputy there.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsy, offering protection to your own personal back four but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
And as I mentioned, well, do you want to do the Seb's little weird ident thingy? Shall I do that? Should I press the button for that?
I don't know. You want to do the facts, are you?
No. One sec.
It's not a trick, is it? Knowledge, education, you know.
Yes, so, it's the photo from 1991. Yeah, sorry, mate.
Yeah, that's Dusseldorf. How dare you? And I do that because Seb doesn't like how I do his intro for the fact of the week, which you'll be doing in a minute. So yeah, my man to watch. I'm going for the less obvious picks. So Cameron Brannigan, as I said, left of the three, probably in the central midfield positions, likes to get forwards. And 3 goals, I think, 13 starts, 3 goals. Ex-Liverpool youth, known, I think, quite well to Paul Cook, again, part of the Scouse Mafia. So good pedigree there. He might be a danger, apart from the obvious ones we mentioned, James Henry and Matty Taylor up front. There you go.
Very thorough, mate. Very good. Very good, Mitch. You and Seb have done yourselves proud. But in terms of... Ipswich, though, I know there's been a bit of a conversation going on in the chat while you've been talking about Oxford in terms of what we're going to be doing to counteract it. And you were, you know, not necessarily what Michael's talking about here about centre halves. Hi, Michael. Hope you're okay. You were talking about Henry playing on the right midfield and potentially Sykes playing right wing. Is who are we going to be playing as, you know, well, left back, I suppose, because we're not sure if Coulson's fit. Penny was standing in the tunnel, didn't look particularly fit at the weekend, midweek, I think it was, in the Peter Cup game, against Colchester. Burgess obviously played there, but is obviously a centre half rather than a dashing fullback, and especially being at home. It'd be interesting to see what we're forced to do and whether Coulson's got a knock that's going to keep him out for any length of time. But both that and for what Michael's saying here, and then Stubbsy's had a conversation and Skip's also added to it, is, you know, the makeup of our team, really. How do you think we're going to look come tomorrow in terms of, well, let's look back forward to start with Vincent Young as well. Hopefully, actually, that's one thing that Paul Cook did mention, didn't he? He said that the injury that Vincent Young picked up during the week, which was a shoulder injury, potentially the other shoulder from the one that he had an operation on, bizarrely enough. I'm not going to do the voice. It's not a bad injury. There's no long-term problem as far as we're aware, which is really good. And hopefully he can make the game tomorrow. So, he has been showing signs of getting back to his quick, fleet-footed best, didn't he?
Yeah.
I know it's harsh on Danasian, but he does offer you more going forward, doesn't he? Especially
he does. I think probably tomorrow, I'm okay with the likes of Danasian, and it will probably be Burgess, at left back, purely because we're speculating at this point. Obviously, we don't know about Penny's situation. I think if Penny's fit, Penny starts, but otherwise Burgess, I think, comes into that position. And I agree with Stubbsy and Skip, I think it was, that dropping NCI would be harsh. But I do get the nervousness there because of the style of play, that the type of play that Matty Taylor is. And that's a bit of a panic there. Coulson, I don't know about that, Skip. I'm still question marks for me about Coulson. But probably more when he was playing in that attacking position against Plymouth rather than him at left back. We don't really know there. I mean, he did all right, didn't he, his first two matches coming on as a left back.
You don't think that after, let's go way back, after the Wigan game, as I think Paul Cook said it himself, everyone had the shirt, you know, why they all played again in the Oldham match. But then obviously Toto makes a mistake in the Oldham match, you know, no one particularly covered themselves in glory in the Oldham match. And then everyone's shirts are again allegedly up in the air, ready to be picked up by the guys that played against Colchester. Did anyone particularly stand out in the Colchester match that could take any of those shots. I think that's what the guys there are talking about, really.
Yeah, and
potentially
I don't think so.
Taking the place of Ventiala now.
I don't think so. And it all depends on injuries. And we're not going to get a huge amount from Cook on that, apart from Vincent Young and Nolan, who, you know, Vincent Young might feature tomorrow. I doubt it, to be honest. Bailey Clements is an option there. Didn't do himself any harm in the second half on Tuesday night either. But I'd expect a team very close to whatever we played against Wickham, albeit the threat posed by Oxford very different. And therefore, having a Burgess at left back probably feels like a risk, because he'll be up against pace and running rather than the direct ball over the top looking for flick-ons. So it does depend on injuries and fitness. I think I'd stick quite close to that Wickham team purely because it's the one that we know works, but sometimes horses for courses, isn't it? I'm kind of on the fence a little bit. I'm not really answering the question either way.
Yeah. Stubbsy says here, hasn't he played Vincent Young? I don't know if he has, but Vincent Young played left back for Cole U, didn't he?
He did.
Pretty much more so than he did at right back.
Yep.
What Maz has talked to here about our injury management, whether it's improving. That was one of the questions I would, had I been at the fans forum, would have asked Paul Cook, really. Is it's quite interesting, is how much of his team selections are his picks and how much are swayed by, you know, this raft of a dozen sports scientists and performance coaches and things like that, who are telling him that, you know what, this guy here is teetering on the edge of pinging something. So, you know, you might want to think about resting him, if you see what I mean.
Let's not forget, we've now got a director of performance, Andy Rolls, first team fitness coach, John Ashton, who's actually here and not on a team school in Scotland, and a head of sports science in Andy Costin. And that has to make a difference, doesn't it? And those pre-match warm-ups, you know, and I assume it's Andy, who is it, the first team? John Ashton.
Mr. Buff. Yeah.
With his pulled up socks and his calves. That has to make a difference. You know, their players are put through their paces and are less likely to pull out those muscle injuries. I think that's a really important factor.
Yeah. And just a little snippet here that Paul Cook doesn't talk about people with injuries, but he did talk about Tom Carroll, remember him, and John Nolan, remember him. Tom Carroll has a hip flexor problem. As you know, I'm sure we've all suffered from that, probably unknowingly. And John Nolan, he didn't really say, I presume he's got an acute case of gingeritis
offensive.
Tom Carroll's training at the moment, apparently, and John Nolan's not. So what do you reckon? Is John Nolan going to be following James Norwood and potentially Caden Jackson out of the January transfer window door, do you reckon?
I can't see how he gets in the team, especially if Ilmar Zuni is now in the pecking order because of that contract. I don't know. He's not replacing Morsey, is he? And therefore, he's not replacing Ilmar Zuni if Morsey's out. And is he better than Carroll and Evans? I don't think so.
And it frees up a space in this squad, doesn't it, as well? Even if
he's
even
a registration. I checked it this morning. He's in the 22. So.
Yeah, exactly. And even if he isn't selected in the 22, therefore, his wages aren't included. You know, we could still be paying him between January and June, where it happens to be. But because he's not in our squad, he doesn't get included in that raft in terms of the financial fair play or whatever, the scampi as we have in League One. So he's not included in that. As Sub said, very, very possibly. Cool. Right. I think we are done. Have I got to do this? Right. Before we do this, just bear in mind, it's not my photo my photo from 20 years ago that's on the next thing. Okay, Seb's, fact of the week. He's given us, like, he's written his own book, Seb's 101 facts on Oxford United. So we've gone through this raft of facts, and believe it or not, this is the best one. Back in 2001, a priest was called in to carry out an exorcism at the Kassam just after they opened. They had lost 13 of their first 17 matches. A gypsy curse. Can you say it anymore? A gypsy curse was said to have been placed on the land 5 years before the club built the stadium, after the club moved them on following the land purchase. Oxford were bottom of the table before the exorcism and ended up finishing 21st and avoiding relegation. Well, crikey, it moved them up three places.
And if you ever, we've long speculated that the curse of the North Stand hasn't been lifted. Yeah. And the last few years, so this opportunity to rebuild Portman Road, who knows what we'll find or discover in moving the ground around. You never know. So there you go.
Well, didn't you suggest we're going to move it 90 degrees?
Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah.
Well, so we face directly into the sun. I think is that not why football grounds are north to south?
I don't know. I don't care.
No, I'm not wishing to bring cricket into it, but the same reason why cricket pitches are predominantly north-south is so that you're not bowling or batting into the sun.
Okay.
Well, there you go. There's your fact of the week.
Where were you when I needed you? Joe didn't correct me on that.
Well, there's your fact of the week.
Did your finger slip or did you mean to play that again?
I meant to do that.
Okay, fine.
It's a sharp show.
Any excuse for Alan Partridge theme music?
So in terms of the match tomorrow, I'm going to refer back to the 80s, without wishing to sound like Robert Maxwell, the old owner of Oxford United, without wishing to go overboard, is it a must-win game for us tomorrow?
Do we want to get predictions from the chat, by the way? Do you want to set those up? Sorry, host.
Yeah, well, so that's what I was sort of alluding to there. Is it a must-win game for us tomorrow? We've had a few people sticking some score suggestions.
I think every game's got to be a must-win for us now, isn't it? If we've got harbour any ambitions to do anything,
and the home, best that, yeah,
and at home as well. I think we should be looking to win every single home match, regardless of the opposition. As I mentioned, Oxford's key personnel missing. I would have predicted a 2-2 draw earlier in the week, but now knowing who's out, I think it's a big opportunity, and I do think we might win 2-1. I don't think it will be. I appreciate Michael's margin of victory there is quite generous. I don't think it will be like that. I think it will be tight, but I do think there will just about be enough for us to do the win because of who's missing for them.
We're pretty sure there'll be goals, don't we? As you say,
we will concede. We will definitely concede it.
As will they? You would think. Looking at
3-2. There you go. 3-2.
Crikey! What a lovely. Lovely. Oh, nice. A 3-2. Yeah.
When was the last Charlie's gone
2-0. As has Jack. Look, both gone 2-0. Skip's. Sod it. We're going 3-0.
Go for it, Skip. I'll have what you are having. 4-2. There it is.
Yeah, Stubbsy.
Start special.
Yeah, as I say, we're hopeful that there's going to be, it should be a pretty open game. It should be goals coming in. So, fingers crossed it'll be a good entertaining.
Have you given us your predictions, Craig?
Well, I think the same as everyone else, really. I think it'll be a 2-1 or a 3-1, to be honest. I think, as everyone knows, we'll score goals, we'll let in goals. They score goals, they let in goals. So, fingers crossed. It's
like that Spider-Man meme. They're both pointing at each other.
Yeah,
hi kids.
Meme, you said. Yeah. I'm referring to Give Us a Clue and Dire Straits. Yes, Stephen, 3-1 tomorrow. Yes, Dazelle, don't tell me you were one of the 10,000 in the stadium that had Jason Dazelle on their shoulders post match along with his brother. Rob's gone for 1-1. Alex has gone for a 3-1 win. Monty's gone for a 2-1. Selena, another card for taking his shirt off. Yeah, that was actually mentioned in the forum, wasn't it? Is that he'll be, yeah.
5-0, by the way.
He'll be getting. I thought that was you'd readjusted your prediction, mate.
I wish. I'll take 5-0. No, England 5, Albania 0.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, so just in terms of Selena, he just needs to. I think someone said about the Ravanelli he just needs to half, and don't go the full kit off because you're getting booking every time. Although we'd love to see you get 10 bookings of having scored 10 goals between now and the end of the season, but you know, think it through a little bit. What else we got? As Michael says, if you want to win, get more fans in the ground. Yeah, it needs to be shown more widely that we are an attractive proposition to come and watch. Although, you know, hopefully we're breaking that hoodoo in terms of turning up for big matches and putting on a show when there are people in the ground. Yeah, Sandy Pierre Stewart. Yeah, he can take him off. He can fold him into a little ball, and he can just like lob them into the crowd for someone. And maybe people can then design a poster stroke placard. Burson, can I please have your gloves? Cool. Right. Okay. I think we've done Oxford to death. Not wishing to go over Robert Maxwell old ground again. In terms of plugs. We've got, as Rich said earlier, he and Joe did the live show earlier this week post Cole U. Also, he and Joe and Gripper from Football Manager did a Football Manager overview that's been released this week or earlier on this week. So Joe and Dean went into some bits and pieces. Like the nuts and bolts and the bits that go on in the background in terms of football management, of which, you know, I did the job before Joe did the job. And it's a labour of love, but it's bloody hard work. And
hashtag Josh Carson.
Yes, exactly that. Yeah. So whoever it was that was giving me dog's abuse about 12 years ago because Josh Carson's heading rating was one lower than they thought it would be, then yeah, thanks very much for that. But no, so they're well worth a listen. The flagship show returns. I think we're recording Sunday evening. Yourself, Rich, Dave, and myself are back. So we'll squeeze Dave in the middle of us two here. And that will be out on Monday. All the details of where to find our shows are there. BlueMondayITFC.co.uk. There's links to the various streams to pick up the audio. And obviously, we're on YouTube, as you can see as well. All the details of our social media is there, all the details to how to support the channel, should you wish to, via the donations, etc., etc. There will also be a midweek Q&A after the Oldham replay. Seb is going to that. I am currently in very delicate negotiations with regards to the one and only car in our household at the moment. So it may be a last minute drive up north for myself.
Have you got any leverage, any bargaining chips on this one? I feel like the odds are stacked against you, but I don't.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, very much so. But I, you know, I'm doing what I can. The issue being my car's gone pop, so it's out of action at the moment. So we've got one car, and I won't bore you the details, but I'm going to have to try and persuade my wife to get the bus to work and bus back to work so I can drive up to Oldham at 2 o'clock in the afternoon to watch FA Cup.
So Seb will be at Oldham, everyone. We don't have to worry about Craig. He won't be there, but Seb will be there, and we'll do that usually. We won't do a Tuesday post-match jobby. We'll do it on the Wednesday. We'll have a break. We'll have 24 hours of breathing space, and then we'll be back and talking about that.
Yeah. And obviously, also, as we'll mention again before we finish, is our friends at the Greyhound kindly look after us in terms of this show and also in terms of Saturday pre-match and post-match. It is the obvious place to go. If you like your Adnams, yeah, and you like a decent pub with decent food, get yourselves in there. It's a lovely place to go for and after. I may well try and wangle that myself. As I say, my car's out of action, so I've got to get the train up tomorrow. And if I'm getting the train up tomorrow, it means I can have a drink. So I may well get in there myself pre-match. So may see you in there. Right. In terms of where we're at, I suppose what we'd better do is enter Rich's room 101.
My kids.
Nice. So in terms of the league table, Rich, where have you hidden our league table? Do you want to look at it?
Probably.
I think you probably should need to look at it because there was a comment in the YouTube comments from, if not last week's show, then the week before, is that the table's asked about face in terms of it seems to be heavily weighted in the people that appear on the show more often than those that don't. So arguably the fairer way of displaying the table would possibly be a points per game value rather than a points value. But that, you know, yeah. I'm just reading what I read.
Nah.
Some guy called Greg Rainbow just mentioned that it might be better off putting it as a points.
The power game. the power of the PowerPoint, the power of the whatever.
System administrator, mate. Yeah, system administrator rules.
Admin king. Yeah. So Seb won last week against Ben. I forgot to put Ben's name in there because Ben's obviously one for naught. And Seb has voted in poor iFollow coverage. I don't think he's put iFollow coverage in general, but just the limited options and quality of the feed.
Yeah. Because Portsmouth one was fantastic. Portsmouth had about three or four cameras from all sorts of angles, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no reason why we shouldn't, you know, we have one poor old guy stuck on a gantry, shivering his backside off and momentarily following the action. Right, who wants to go first? Wait, do you want to go first or shall I go first?
You're in charge, mate. You can do what you want, as I've proved.
Cool. I'll go first then. Right, so in terms of Room 101. As I mentioned earlier, everyone, if you were listening very carefully, when I was talking about the Pack Out Portman Road promotion that we've currently got going on and the various values of the prices of the tickets, et cetera, the under 12s, I think it is, ticket is £1.50. Absolutely brilliant. No problem with that at all. However, it's got a 100% markup because you're also paying £1.50 for a nominal undistinguished, undefined service fee that are being chucked on all our tickets. So my Room 101 entry is sort of twofold. It's getting charged a service fee for a ticket because you're also getting charged postage and packing. I found out when I bought my Charlton tickets, you're getting charged your £1.50 to choose a seat and do all the work for them. You're also getting charged for them to post it to you as well. And for home matches, you're also getting charged £1.50. And this is the second part of my Room 101, is to print the ticket at home. Now, I don't like printing my tickets at home. I like getting paper tickets like Division 1 playoff final. And
I agree.
Division 1 semi-final, semi-final Bolton playoff and Sunderland and Newcastle and Plymouth Argyle. I like having a tangible thing, not a sheet of A4 that I've had to waste my own printer ink on to print off and get charged £1.50 for the privilege. So my Room 101 is a twofold. It's getting charged for buying a ticket, that you do all the work, you choose your seat, you enter your card details, you do everything, you press select, you press confirm, you press continue, and also printing at home and not getting a lovely, lovely hard ticket that you can stick on your wall or stick in a drawer and things like that.
So I don't wish to stifle you because you've put two things up there. I've only got 16 characters to put into the Twitter poll, so you really need to help me out and narrow it down.
All right, mate. Don't worry, we'll do it.
All right, you can come up with the words. You're going for two things there. Okay.
I'll charge you £1.50 for the privilege.
You charge me for the consultancy fee. Mark Ashton, to be fair, someone asked about that at the Sports Q&A. Mark Ashton's on that. So that might be resolved without you needing to put it into Room 101. But you want to make sure it never comes back.
I think it's a SeatGeek thing, isn't it? I think he said that the SeatGeek agreement was already in place. So there's nothing they can do about it at the moment. But it's a discussion they're having in the next couple of weeks. But it just seems a bit off that we get charged regardless.
Pack Out Portman Road. I quite agree. It kind of ruins the whole concept of that, doesn't it? So I can understand that one. Yeah, I can sympathise. And I like not in League One and the Championship, frankly, but proper tickets, I almost...
Yeah, but even so now, you know, Wimbledon away is just something to have. When we're playing Man City in 2 years' time. Just nice to look back and think, gosh, remember that time you had to go to Wimbledon when we're sitting in the Etihad?
Yeah. All right. There you go. I don't decide. That's out up for listener land. Fireworks. Here we go, Craig. What I've got for the world, and including Charlie D, is I have got a problem with minutes applause. I have no issue paying respect. If you're going to pay respect, pay respect. A minute's applause is a cop-out. And I do understand there's a time and a place for a minute's applause. I do get that when you want to demonstrate appreciation. But I think a lot of the moments that require a minute's respect, for whatever you want to call it, should be somber. And I think minutes of applause are a cop-out because it makes up for the Muppets who can't respect it. And I think that if you can't respect the minute's silence, you need to be dragged out and kicked out of Portman Road or whatever stadium. And actually, it helps us weed out the idiots anyway. So what I miss as well, and this is important too, and yes, there's the paying the respect bit, but there's also the bit at the end when the referee blows his whistle. And having been in absolute silence, respectful silence for a minute, everyone goes absolutely freaking mental before kickoff. You get that kind of rousing, huge cheer. And a minute's applause, you don't hear the referee's whistle. You just keep going. Nothing changes. So pay respect properly by staying silent. And let's have our moment of just at the end when the referee blows his whistle. And if people can't be respectful and can't be grown up about it, kick them out. And I was going to swear then, and I really should have, just to reinforce the point. If you can't, if I'm looking at you, internet, if you can't pay respect by staying quiet, then you're not a grown up. You don't, you know, you can't hold your alcohol.
Don't deserve nice things.
Your mates can't tell you to shut up either. You know, we've got a responsibility as well. I get that. But minutes of applause is a cop out. Get rid of it. Minute silence. Bring it back.
Nice. Yeah. Nicely put. I don't agree with you, obviously, but yeah, it's a valid, it's a very, very, very valid point. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's not £1.50 on a £1.50 ticket. Okay, everyone. 15, so yeah. what we'll do is we'll put a poll out on the back of the tweet for the show. So yeah, by all means, have a look and have a vote. And yeah, just remember that that points per game ratio is very, very important. Cool. Right. Well, we are almost done. We're coming up to the hour, so we'll knock it on the head very, very shortly. So if you want to shout out, just a quick hello and bits and pieces like that, please feel free. Give us a shout in the comments, and we'll do so as we finish off the final knockings, as it were. Just quick shout outs again. We've got the shows coming up tomorrow. Sunday we'll be recording for the flagship on the back of tomorrow's match against Oxford. Thanks again to the guys at the Greyhound, who hopefully we'll see at some point tomorrow, and hopefully we'll see some of you guys tomorrow if we manage to get in there. Yes, thank you, Charlie. Yeah, everyone, enjoy the game. Who's at the game? Well, I think you are. I am. Joe is eating his pastries at half time and bits and pieces. Dave will be there. I can see Dave from my seat. I don't know whether Mikey's making his way up. Seb, is he heading this way?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay. Well, Rich, myself, Dave, and Joe will all be there. Rich and myself could well be in the pub beforehand. So come and say hello, and we'll clink our glasses of Mosaic with each other. Stephen can't make tomorrow, but can't wait for the long trip next weekend. Yeah, absolutely. That's another thing, isn't it? You know, the away following at the moment is just fantastic. And also Charlton, I don't know whether the Charlton tickets are still on sale. Another 1,000 went on sale today.
Massive.
Lunchtime. I had a look earlier, and they'd already sold out one of the blocks that they'd opened up, and were halfway through selling another. But I would have thought that they'll just keep releasing, because that stand behind the goal is pretty monstrous stand, isn't it, for an away following. So yeah, we'll see. But I say keep your eyes and ears open. If you don't happen to get a ticket in this round, there could well be another batch opening up, I'd have thought. Thank you very much, Skip. Thanks very much, Stubbsy. Good man. And Michael, yeah, again, Brisbane. Yeah, crikey, mate. Get the hat, scarf and gloves on today. I've a, you know, bit of a change from your factor 50. But yeah, thanks very much for joining us. Good to see you, mate. So have you got any I'll let you do the honours in terms of final words, Rich. You got anything to
Well, just firstly, thank you for everyone for joining us. Thank you for the Facebook likes, Stephen, Steve, Andrew. We see you on Facebook. If pop us a like on YouTube as well, if you don't mind.
Algorithm. Mention the word algorithm.
Hashtag algorithm. There you go. Ruined it. Just stuffed it up. Algorithms and stuff like that. So thank you everyone for joining us, for getting involved in the chats. Really appreciate that. For pretty much next week, we'll probably do a pre-record, and so people driving up or going up to Sunderland can listen to it on the way up. And thank you to Craig for hosting and for doing all the hard yards this evening. It's a shame that your excellent run of football room 101 is likely to come to an end. And
I shall take solace in the fact that I'm squeezing as many 1980s references as I possibly can every time I appear on the pod.
And I'll do a moment's silence, and then I'll do a raucous noise to mark the end of the pod. So we'll just pray silence, please.
Come on, you Blues!
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.